Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus has been, and intends to remain your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. Coins Plus has been in business over two decades. We are very actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of rare coins and precious metals. Our real specialty is portfolio building, wealth and capital management, whatever you want to call it, savings, 401ks, IRAs. Right now, everybody's sitting there flat. I just talked last night to a friend of mine who owns a top 10 multi-billion dollar, well, he's one of four principals in a top 10 multi-billion dollar corporation, real estate holding, and other hard assets. I can't give you much more information than that, obviously. And we were speaking considerably about just stuff, you know, life and politics. I don't really want to admit it, but I think that over the years I've known him, I've converted him from left to right. His wife is quite liberal and very active, and he was too. And as we got to know each other better, and he knew about the radio show, and we've just gotten to know each other really, really well. And he has become, I would say, conservative and just really logical. He sees it. He's all of a sudden mystically, magically, wonderfully sees the truth. And when we were talking last night, he said, you know, he's part of this massive, very profitable corporation. Ridiculously profitable because they're in the real estate business now. And he's been in it quite a while. He's been doing it. He's been with this corporation since probably about 1990. Which, how many years is that? 2010. 29 years. Going on. He's coming up on his 30th year. It's just interesting listening to the stories of how he became a principal. He didn't intend to. A principal, if you don't know what a principal means, they're basically an owner. There's four owners. There's the primary, the guy who started the company, and then his brother, and two others that he's chosen over the years. Very, very large corporation for their industry. Probably, you know, one of the bigger in the U.S. and really phenomenal, blah, blah, blah. So, he was at a huge event recently, and he ended up, they were saying, well, the good thing about taking over Congress, he'd ended up at a liberal event. He said a very large liberal event with some very important people, and he said that they said, well, now you know what it means. He said, I think he said at this point Elizabeth Warren was on stage. And she said, well, you know what it means now that we've taken over Congress is we can finally see the president's tax returns. And he said, he stood up and he said, you know what? He said, that's the problem with you people. He said, you are not concerned about the well-being of the country or the average working American. You say you are, but you're more concerned with Donald Trump's tax returns than you are with really helping people. And like he said to them, he said, what difference, you know, what difference does it make what his tax returns say now? You know, and he ended up getting jeered and he said big names, you know, we're talking, you know, it wasn't, not jeered bad, but scowled, whatever, I don't know. But he said he left and I was proud of him and we were talking. And he was talking about money, finances. He's got his corporation has tons of equity and they do all this investing. And, you know, long story short, he was talking to me about the fact that, you know, over the last few couple years or whatever, you know, first Trump gets in and everything skyrockets. And over the last few years, he said, you know, the market's really done nothing. It just sits there and it goes up and down and up and down. And he talked about these important stocks not doing well. And he's in the real estate market. And he said, you know, of course their company has a private jet. You know, I think Coins Plus has a private dolly to push boxes around. I'm just kidding. But anyway, he, you know, flies around and with the president and whatever, and they're going doing their what they do. And he said, you know, the skylines of all these big cities are full of these super tower cranes, and this construction's going crazy all over. And he said it is such a bubble. And he said this bubble is going to blow sky high. He talked about, you know, all this building and construction is based on people, like, you know, the commercial side is based on people having working capital from hyperinflation, temporary. You have to remember what happened in the market crash of 29. We went from this rock solid, just killer dollar to the Fed taking over, you know, conning everybody. Which was quite a feat. I've mentioned it before. Get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and read it the way they say it. Up front, they say it's a long book. You know, you read the summary, intro and summary of every chapter first, and then blah, blah, blah. You know, it's the way to read it. But it explains the history of money in America, and a little bit in the history of money in the world, mostly the history of money in America. And then it really delves into the Fed. It's written by J. Griffith Edwards or something like that. He was commissioned by the Birch Society, I think, and a few other companies. And the book's so heavily bibliographied, full of facts, because he knew the heat that it would take when it came out. It's phenomenal. It really gives you a good understanding of what's happened over the years. And it's bailout after bailout after bailout after bailout. Banks, you know, have more money to lend than they've ever had. People think about, you know, they think things, they're still thinking back, you know, where banks are tighter. And no, banks are looser than loose again. And they're just pumping the money into commercial real estate. Why would that be? Who's our leader? Oh, a huge commercial real estate baron. You don't suppose that affects the sentimental mindset of America, do you? I have a funny feeling it does. So, long story short on that, which is a phrase I use too much, but he basically was talking about the extreme growth in all these cities, and it's too fast. It's just too fast. The markets, everything's too fast. Things are happening too fast. We've got, you know, you look at what's happening like in Venezuela right now, right, with Maduro and I don't remember the other guy's name, you know, 10 What was it? Or is it? It's a, you wouldn't even believe. I gotta, let me look this up here. Yeah, the percentage of inflation, you won't even believe this. 10,000,000% inflation. I don't even know what that means. Okay. Neither do you. Trust me. If you think you do, you don't. Or at least you have never experienced it, right? So he's got, you know, they're, you know, I guess to keep it short on that, that's what communism does, okay? And now we're in a position where this country wants communism, all right? So I did some research the other night, some kind of deep, in-depth research, and I kind of wrote a little bit of, took some notes and stuff that I kind of want to go over with you that, you know, give you an idea of kind of waking up, you know? I sit on the show and I talk about this and I talk about that and I'm kind of hesitant because it's common sense. It's the most simple mathematics. I mean, you guys know my background. Basically, just to lay it out there, I have a Bachelor of Science in Applied Mathematics and Statistics. you know, and the way I got there was, you know, I started, I mean, if you want to know, when I was in college, I started in physical therapy, and then I got talked out of that by a professor who said, you, because I wanted to be in sports medicine because I was a big athlete, and yeah, and she's like, oh, you know, only 4% of people get in sports medicine. The rest of you are going to be working with geriatrics and all this. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I mean, you don't tell an 18-year-old that, you know, it doesn't matter. Now I'd be like, serving the Lord would be great. But anyway, so I decided to move on and I went into business. And then business, this is going to sound really stupid, but I felt like I was cheating in business because it was so easy. It was a joke, at least for me, the classes and stuff were. And I wanted more of a challenge. Well, the area of expertise, or the area that I was really good at, was mathematics. So I realized, first, I loved math, so I was going to go into math. And I went all the way through the math program to become a teacher, and I went all the way to the paraprofessional level. And I was going to be a math and PE teacher, believe it or not. And along the way, I got a minor in health and food nutrition and blah, blah, blah. And then I got near the end when I was doing my paraprofessionals with these high school kids. And I won't go into all the specific events, but I realized that these kids don't want to learn. At least the kids at the high school that I was working at didn't. So I just came home one day and I told my wife, I said, I don't want to be a teacher, and it's not my thing. I just don't want to teach kids who don't want to learn. I want to teach people who want to learn. I'm totally into that, you know, for obvious reasons. And so I did a little research and found actuarial science. Well, actuarial science, they do all the statistical research and probability calculations for insurance companies. And so that's what I went into. And, you know, my grades, by the time I got out of college, I only had like a 3.0, and I was ashamed. And I was telling my wife this the other night. I was like, you know, was so sad. I was in these interviews, and I would, you know, I wouldn't tell the truth, and because I was embarrassed, because I didn't, you know, they'd be like, oh, you don't have a 3.65. And then, you know, when I look back, I was married, okay, I was married at 20 years old, okay, with a kid. I was working full-time and going to college full-time. And once I got married and was going to college full-time, I put the hustle on. I mean, I was taking huge credit loans. I had a spot in the university library over on the third floor where it was this weird area where this 10-foot-long bookshelf came into two big, great big cubicles, and it was just really awkward. It was really hard to get over there. So I'd put my stuff on both desks. I lived up there. I mean, the last year of college after I got married, in summer school and everything, I just busted it. I had to get special permission to have overlapping classes and all this, and I was taking all this 400-level math and physics, and I was working full-time, and, I mean, my wife didn't see me much. My wife had rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile onset she got when she was 13, and they had it under control somewhat, you know, a lot. Well, they did, with myocrycin, which is gold salts, right? Think about it. They inject gold into your body, boom. It goes and it heals the arthritis. What? You know, gold's an amazing element, folks, made by God for a lot of reasons. The pharaohs used to bathe in it in huge tubs of it with this black sand that comes with gold, because gold initially came from the sandy areas and, you know, through the flood and all this tectonic plate shifting and volcanic activity and heat. And also, I believe, through massive empires that had been built high onto mountaintops, gold ended up high too, primarily. But these pharaohs long ago would have the gold in these tubs and vats, and they'd take these baths and live forever. Not really for us, but anyway, they, you know, 20, 35 depends on what you read. So as soon as my wife has our first son, it you know, there's hormonal changes. Boom, the drug quits working, or whatever you want to call it, the gold quits working. Gold is not a drug, by the way, but it can be. It can actually be a terrible drug. You get what's called gold fever, and you end up like the one day in the Yukon when the Chinese showed up, and 47 people were killed in a war over over land looking for gold. So yeah, gold's a drug. But anyway, so that we did that. I've hustled through, got through, and then went and got into actuarial science, and then into banking, and went and did postgraduate studies in economics, a lot of economics, and then had a wonderful job. You know, did some different things. I worked my way up with one company. I was the youngest manager ever promoted, and the company that bought Wells Fargo, it was called Norwest Banks. No one even knows who they are because they started in Montana and headed east. And they were bigger than Wells Fargo, but they kept the Wells Fargo name because Wells Fargo is Wells Fargo. And the name had just been around for everybody to know for, you know, forever. And so they kept the name. But I was with Norwest Banks. I was the youngest branch manager in the company and the fastest promoted from the management training program ever. In the company. So, and then I did really well. They put me in a branch to, they wanted to shut down, but they wanted to get me 6 months experience. And I turned it around, made it a star performer 2 years in a row, which was, you know, top, there's probably the top 20, maybe 15 to 20, more like about the top, you know, we'll say 15 to 20 branches out of over 1,000. I made it into that. And, you know, and then I decided at one point I wanted to be in the car business because I'm a car nut. I still am. I still have cool cars and stuff, but I've gotten a lot smarter because I've learned a lot about. I should never add up all the money I've lost on cars. That's the worst thing about them. Cars are a depreciating liability, not an increasing asset, in general. Even collectible cars, because they're seasonal through life. Right now, like Chevelles and, the old hot rod Camaros are super hot because guys my age remember in high school they were the coolest car around and they couldn't afford them. And cars back then that were minted out would go for like $4,500 or $5,000, and now they go for $145,000. But it's just like when my dad was my age. Model A's and Model T's were the hot thing, and now they're cheap again. So, you know, you pick. But so anyway, my background is that. And then, you know, of course, because of the actuarial science and all that, I've had, you know, been insurance licensed in every line in 4 states. And then when I was a regional manager, then I went into the car business for a while, didn't like it. I was a business manager over a large auto dealership over a bunch of other business managers. I had been promoted pretty quickly there. And then I went back into banking and became a regional manager for Bank of America. And from there, I got into the coin addiction. It was a gift from God. And I decided to leave corporate America for a couple of years and just start a little shop just to buy and sell. And it went a little bit bonkers. I used to advertise a lot and, you know, had a lot of business flowing, and I've really cooled down on the advertising, but, you know, we've done okay over the years. And then the radio show, and, you know, I got the real strong Christian audience, and, you know, and that's the story. So I've got a strong background in finance, and so I can converse with people on every level. The Series 6 and 7 licensing is a big deal. I mean, it's not that hard to, well, it depends who you are. It could be hard to get, but it just gives me the ability to understand stocks, bonds, you know, equities, all that stuff. And I'm telling you, folks, right now, the stuff is so overinflated. Then you do the research on monetary system, and we are over the edge, over the top. I am blown away by our deficit. Okay, folks, it's serious. This is not a joke. It's not something that's going to get better. You know, if you look at a historical graph or chart of our deficit, of the U.S. Let me see this bad boy here. It is unbelievable. I'd love to find charts. I like graphs and charts, you know. Otherwise, this, you know, here's the deficit year by year. I found that, you know, just big deal. Show me a chart, you know. But apparently right now under pressure, I'm not going to find one. So that's just the way it's going to be. But anyway, it's really shot up like crazy. It's funny how I am looking at all these images of the deficit by year, and they do these bar charts and bar graphs and how much did it increase per year. Anything but just an old-fashioned graph that just shows the growth rate, right? The growth rate's insane. It's insane, folks. I mean, we are going up and up. This is funny. It is really funny looking at these charts. Wow. And they go, people go over these investment corporations, you know, from Edward Jones and Solomon Smith Barney and Schwab and everybody. They have experts at creating materials that make you feel good and look good and a picture of a pretty family in their beautiful home with their perfectly green lawn and two brand new cars in the driveway and their cute little kids. And if you invest with them, oh, you're going to have such a great future and you're going to retire. It's going to be so beautiful and everything's going to be perfect. Baloney. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if we are America, red, white, and blue. You know, God bless America. I love the country. You know I do. I love the Constitution. Last summer, I went back to D.C. for a few weeks on a study tour, went with a Christian group for part of it. And then a private group for part of it, and then on our own, and blah, blah, blah. I got to see a lot, got to learn a ton. It just got drilled in my head. Our founding fathers were believers. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. You do not understand history. You twist it if you don't believe it and know it. People twist what Thomas Jefferson said and so on to make it sound like he was confused. And I just, ugh. I listen to these self-proclaimed experts that, you know, the one thing that makes me the maddest of all, and I've dealt with this with family members and friends, I guess, and acquaintances, people who want to not believe something, okay? So say you are not a believer and you do not want the truth. They search out lies, okay? So you want to study all this garbage and trash about why Christianity is not true. Start studying atheist websites, okay? I did this for a while, not because I wanted to lose my faith, because I wanted to go debate with these morons, excuse me. And I would start, you know, I would waste hours a day sometimes, a night, you know, debating with these idiots. And you know, as soon as somebody starts to spew facts or fallacies as facts, you know, you think of Proverbs 18:2, which I love. It says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion." Folks, if there's one thing that I like to hope is true about myself, is that I absolutely seek the truth no matter what the cost. Now, the cost, you know, it's interesting because people will literally start to hear the truth and they'll think, oh my gosh, if that's true, then this is the consequence. And they'll go, no, 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 no. And they'll stop it. Okay. I mean, I've run into that with people in a number of situations. And not just in Christianity, in all life, they'll do it. You know, if something is true about a person that they shouldn't be around or something, and they start to find out, they don't want to hear it because if they're believers, they know that they shouldn't be with the person, and they'll block it, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, but one thing I've always wanted to do is seek the truth no matter the cost. Well, seek the truth. Don't seek the lie. It's not seek the lie no matter the cost. How many lies and fallacies can there be about Jesus? Endless, 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 endless. I got in a debate with this moron. I keep using that word. he, you know, tried to say Jesus never existed. I'm like, dude, you are so ignorant on this topic, because that's, you know, the most atheistic archaeologists won't debate the existence of Jesus Christ. I mean, they know he lived. The question, the real question is whether or not he was who he said he was, God, and whether or not he was resurrected. Well, the evidence is overwhelming. Look at Josh McDowell, who wrote Evidence That Demands a Verdict after he was a college law professor. He hated Christians so bad, he took a sabbatical to go to Israel to prove Christianity was a lie because he hated Christians. Well, guess what happened? Yep. The more evidence he got, the more he was like, this is true. This is very true. This is so true. Oh my gosh, this is incredibly true. And he said he was sitting, I don't know if you know who Josh McDowell is, most people do. He's phenomenal, incredible writer, incredible Christian, incredible man. He said he was sitting in a cafe like in Paris or London or France or whatever, but and out loud he started to say, it's true, it's true, it's true. And he didn't realize he was saying it out loud. He was thinking it. And this lady goes, what's true? And he goes, Jesus is real. Jesus really lived. Jesus really died. He really is the Messiah. He's who he said he was. And he says the lady looked at him like, what? But then he wrote the book Evidence That Demands a Verdict, which, and then there's more, a book called More Evidence That Demands a Verdict. These are like humongous, massive, almost like coffee table books. But the truth, there's so much evidence. And there's nothing more frustrating than people who won't seek the truth. So seek the truth. Just tell your friends who don't believe in him. Say, stop looking for the lie. In fact, you as a believer, stop trying to refute all the lies. You will never do it, because right behind one lie is coming another one. And right behind that lie is coming another one. And you're going to sit there, and this is how the devil works. And you say no. You speak the word of God. For the word of God, what? Is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Able to pierce through bones and marrow. And, I don't have the whole scripture memorized anymore, which is sad. But anyway, seek the truth no matter the cost, okay? So, in fact, I have to go get the exact terminology of that verse. And then we'll move forward. Hebrews 4:12. I know it's Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Okay? Then you go on and there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him, capital Him, with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, and on it goes. But again, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through soul, spirit, joints, marrow, and it judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So what you do when you speak with people is you learn how to, in a consultative, tolerable, palatable way, you learn how to share the gospel, to share the scriptures. First of all, you've got to memorize them. Like I say, Psalms 119, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We are to memorize scripture. It is very important that we memorize scripture. Okay, it's very important. I mean, you've got to have it in your heart. If you memorize it, I memorized a ton a long time ago, and I should refresh myself. I had at one time, you wouldn't even believe the number of verses I had memorized. I used to do it on my own, plus I had a pastor friend who used to do it with me. And, we memorized entire books of the Bible, not to mention, I had, over 4,000 verses memorized at one time. But what happens is the Holy Spirit uses those and brings them to your attention when you need them. And so when you're talking to your friends and people like this that don't believe or whatever, don't chase their fallacies. If you end up running around trying to do research to find a way to prove them wrong, I promise you, you will lose. They will never come to Christ. I know a guy that went to a church we went to. Nice guy. I keep wanting to say his name, but I won't. And he ended up with his own little church. He's just a cute, you know, kind of like Hawaiian guy. And he had three college roommates and at Whitworth. And they'd come back with all these deep, heavy, you know, philosophical debates about Jesus. And he'd say, I don't know, but Jesus loves you, man. And, you know, and he'd say, I don't know, Jesus is real and Jesus loves you. Well, he had like, there was four of them living together, including him. The other three all came to Christ through him because of his lifestyle evangelism. That's what people see. People don't see, you know, you might have situations, but where people just kneel. But, you know, I just heard the story yesterday of, oh, it was something to do with the trade towers when we were attacked, where a son, oh gosh, I don't want to blow it. A son was going, he worked at the World Trade Center, and he was going to work, and his car broke down on 9/11, and he couldn't get to work. And he was like, gosh, you know, he was just having the worst day ever, but he could not get to work. And then that day he was frustrated. He called his dad. His dad was a retired firefighter, retired. And later on that day, the towers got hit. So he was like, oh my gosh, God protected me and saved my life. And then he talked to his dad on the phone, like, oh my gosh, can you believe this? And his dad went there. His dad was retired, but he volunteered. He jumped right in and went in, and the tower collapsed and his dad died. And it was in what was a glorious day where God saved him became a horrendous day where his dad died. And he was super sad about it. And then one day a lady came to the door and said, hey, I just wanted to introduce myself and let you know that your father saved my life. And she came with a brand new little baby, a seven-month-old baby. And she said, I was pregnant. Your father carried me all the way down the stairs and helped me out. And I know he died, but I just wanted you to know that on the way down, I was sharing Jesus with him. And at the bottom of the stairs, before he went back up, he knelt down and received Christ and went back up the stairs. And I got out of the building, and then she said, I ran a couple blocks and the buildings came down, and or part of, you know, whatever, I don't know. That's a paraphrase of the story. I could have part of it wrong. But the point is, then she said, I just want you to know I named my baby, my son, after your father, and I wanted you to know all this. And so that guy, the son, and his wife were there, and they prayed to receive Christ. And, you know, it was like, you know, that's just how God works, you know, the things that are intended, like it says in Romans 8:28 or whatever, that are intended for our evil end up being for our good, okay? Now, so that's that, right? And we've got, you know, riots in Venezuela and a whole bunch of other stuff. So what I wanted to do today is I have a hard time doing this. By the way, on Fox, I was watching last night, the thing, America's doom is going to be on illegal immigration. I'm just throwing that out there hard and fast. Griff Jenkins from Fox News took a $2 boat ride. They had it filmed. I watched it from the U.S. to Mexico and back to the U.S. Like in the last couple days, with no border patrol, where they just literally go across the Rio Grande and there they are. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And the liberals want to fight. The liberals are chewing each other up, you know, and they want to become more socialistic than they ever have and so on and so forth. So here I did some research and I was writing some stuff. And, I mean, you guys, there's like, you know, oh, what is it? Oh, I can't remember this research foundation. But anyway, so I just got a bunch of stuff that I wrote down, a bunch of notes that I want to go over with you guys because I feel like I owe it to you, okay? I feel like the truth is that there's no doubt that every bubble explodes, okay? And right now, there's those of you that have had metals and you're like, man, they're kind of sinking and gold, silver's just crazy. It kind of sucks and gold and, you know, and blah, 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 and coins and things, it's just kind of dead and in the water and it's just really frustrating me. And, you know, it's still up over the last decade or whatever. We don't really think about that because we were making a stinking killing on it, right? I mean, back in 2000, up through 13 until Obama started his master manipulation through the world's central banks. But long story short, frauds end suddenly. Okay, we've got hyperinflation. This is a fraudulent economy. I'm sorry to be the one to say it, but I'm just going to speak the truth, okay? So, you know, we're in a bubble right now that's about to pop. I talked about that at the beginning when I was talking to my friend who's a CEO of a massive corporation, a multi-billion-dollar corporation. The bubble that's about to pop is going to cause far more destruction than any financial bubble in U.S. history. It's going to make the housing bubble of a decade ago look minor. I mean it, okay? You have to understand the dead simple strategies that'll save your retirement when stocks fall by 50 to 75% or more, right? Every major stock market boom has been followed by, now listen to this, every major stock market boom has been followed by a long, painfully destructive bear market. So the question is, how long do you wait before you prepare yourself for the next bear market? You know it's coming. It has to come. It's mathematically factual. What's worse is the hyperinflation has never been at this level. So you combine the two and you're being fooled right now. You're losing spending power. The working man is losing his ability to buy stuff. You know, the cost of living has gone through the roof, and we got illegal immigrants pouring in the country like like never before at a rate that's just beyond ridiculous, okay? So what's motivating us, you, whatever, to wait? Extreme investment losses are always driven by greed and unreasonable hope. So how much of a loss can you endure, all right? You go to a broker, you buy stock, you buy bonds, you invest. Why? It's greed and unreasonable hope. I've been there. I've done it. I've had some big losses in life. You know, I'm stockpiling gold and silver. I love silver dollars. Silver dollars, folks. I you know, if you silver right now is cheap. I mean, cheap. And silver dollars are the best way to go. Why? They can't make any more of them. They're historically sound. They're absolutely recognized globally. They're the pinnacle of history. They are what changed the coinage economic system of the world. They set the standard straight. We, you know, the Morgan silver dollar and then the peace dollar was the finalizer, which went through 1935, but primarily, you know, the Morgans from the 1800s. They're the way to go. Right now, they trade at a small, you know, small fraction over their silver content. And they historically have been up to 5, 10, 20 times. I mean, I'm looking at coins we're buying from people from the boom of the late 80s that were unbelievable. I mean, $600 people were paying for coins that are now worth, you know, $70 or $60. This stuff's available. It's coming back. It's going to hit. The inflation's going to hit. That hard assets always last, okay? They have their own times. But the thing is, you don't lose your money. All these corporations are going to crash. Real estate, we're going to have another huge real estate kaboosh And it's going to be the biggest and worst yet, okay? In all honesty, I mean, what does the Bible say? I mean, the Bible calls gold money, and it calls silver money, and it calls money money. You know, gold and silver is money, and there's certain hard assets that people tucked away and they used to trade, and they never had any of these problems. They never had that's not true. They did have these problems when, emperors and leaders would come in and debase the currency, right? Now we've debased the tar out of our currency, and we are losing spending power like it's going out of style. So what, you know, the Bible says that precious metals are the way to go. It starts in Genesis 2. It goes all the way through. Gold's all over heaven. Jesus' first gift was gold. Solomon, the richest man ever, loaded with gold, you know, sent people out to get gold. The Pharaoh's gold, you know, I mean, you can go on and on, but heaven is full of gold. I mean, full, when you really read about it. So it's, you know, you got to, I just do what the Bible says. Why not? What do you got to lose? Don't put it all in. I mean, if you want, do whatever you want. But at least if you have rare coins and precious metals, we've got some clients that have spent millions and millions of dollars here. They're doing very well. Very, very well. They've got sound economic, you know, stability. And the thing is, you might think, oh, you know, I bought gold at 1500 and now it's only 1300. You don't even know what it feels like to lose. I lost an amount of money in a few investments that were outside of my realm that you just don't even know what it feels like to completely change my life. I mean, I would be in a different position today had I followed my own advice and when I had, you know, the chance, but I won't get into that. That's been a while. So it's important to do what the Bible says. What does God call money? He calls precious metals money. What did God create as money? Precious metals. So what did Christ call money? Gold and silver. What's lasted from the beginning of written human history until today? Precious metals. You know, of course, you know, real estate, yes, but it's not, you can't carry it. It's not immediately liquid. It's not immediately recognizable everywhere, you know. I mean, just, you know, all real estate is not equal, okay? A big, you know, you can go buy 10,000 acres in the middle of the Sahara Desert, and I don't think you're going to do too well on the investment. Maybe in 1,000 years when there's climate change or some stupid thing, I don't know. And by the way, climate change is real, but Israel, how about that? But it has nothing to do with mankind. It has to do with the fact that after the flood, we had the ice age, and the earth has warmed up since then. And it's going to continue to warm slowly. You know, that's not totally true. I guess there's other factors. But climate change, I mean, oh, it's cold. It's our fault. Oh, it's hot. It's our fault. Oh, no, we have a storm. It's our fault. Well, that is the dumbest thing ever. It's 24/7 news reporting, and it's hyping things up, and it's maxing them out. And these people, they want hype. Hype sells. And that's why I don't do this much, because I don't want to be an infomercial on, you know, buy precious metals for me and blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way, Coins Plus, in my opinion, you know, we've done everything to be number one in every way, honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. We're a high volume, low margin dealer. If you or anybody you know has an estate or a coin collection or anything like that, give us a shot at it. You know, give us time to go through it if it's really good quality. There's been a couple situations that kind of stick in my mind and bother me, where I've, you know, had, you know, one time a really nice collection come in, and I was in a big rush to get to the radio show, and I let one of my employees kind of go through it, who it was way over his head, and you know, and he didn't have the knowledge and that kind of stuff. But you know, now he does. He's been through, gosh, months of professional training at the American Numismatic Association College. But you know, the bottom line is, if you know anybody who has assets like that they want to sell, we buy them. We'll pay full throttle for all of it. It's more than anybody in the nation for quality material at any time. If you want to invest, call us. We'll take care of you. Folks, you have nothing to lose when you buy precious metals-based assets and some numismatic coins. I mean, you look at Carson City silver dollars. I've mentioned those. My goodness. I mean, they never stop going up, you know. And if you want right now gold that's cheap, I mean, even the old U.S. gold coins are cheap. And, you know, silver dollars, for goodness sakes, get them. You know, there's dates that are so rare that are going for so cheap, so close to the silver price, it's not even funny. You know, if you've got, you know, if you had a chunk of money, 10, 20, 30, 50,000, I would buy silver dollars. Now, understand, I'm not just trying to generate an income for myself. We make a minuscule margin once. When you're with a broker, they roll you, they churn you, they turn you, they burn you. They, you know, every single time, oh, sorry, we lost on that one. Let's try this one. Let's try that one. Let's try this one. You know, like companies like Edward Jones, they train their people how to become, you know, I'd almost say false, really active community members. You know, they tell them, you know, you got to go to all the soccer games and you know, get really interested in people's kids and family. And they teach them how to play this game to become your pal and your bud. We, you know, and then they churn you and they burn you. They carry a book and they get residual income on it. And they believe me, it's just not what we do. We sell once. People say you make money when you buy and you sell. It's like, how does that make sense? It doesn't. Think about it. If an ounce of gold were $1,000, just think about that. $1,000 even. And we buy it for $1,000 if you bring it in, say hypothetically, and then we sell it for $1,020 or $1,030. So we're making 2 or 3%, right? Some gold, you know, it gets a little more exotic. We make maybe 4% or whatever, okay? So whatever. That silver, we make 4% typically. But so say an ounce of gold is $1,000. We sell it. We buy it from you for $1,000. And say you walk out the door and 3 weeks later you come back and you go, I want my ounce of gold back. And nothing's changed. And we sell it to you for $1,030. How much did I just make? I paid you $1,000. Now I'm getting $1,030 from you. I just made $30 on $1,000. That's 3%. Okay. So now you have the gold. And then say 3 weeks later, you're like, oh man, I need the money. And say the market hasn't changed. You bring it back in. I pay you $1,000 again. I'm not making money when I buy. I'm making money when I sell one time. So that's something keep in mind. If you don't understand it, think about it. It doesn't, you know, if you buy something from your friend for $100 and you sell it to another friend for $110, and they say, I don't want this. And you say, well, I'll give you $100, and you bought it back. You made $10. You know, you made the money when you sold, not when you bought. So that's something I just want you to understand thoroughly. So just realize the Bible, God, you know, the Bible says precious metals-based assets. God calls it money. You know, he created it as money. Christ called it money. It's lasted from the beginning of written human history. Why might you believe that we're smarter or better than any generation before? Why do we think that our technology and our knowledge and stupid things like Bitcoin and stuff are somehow superior? We have a superior intellect. Do you know historically they have proven that man was much smarter historically than we are now? Really? Yes. Fact. True deal. Okay. We are not as wise today as we were before. Because we don't use our brains the same way. Now it's getting even worse because we've got electronics and Google. And Google answers all of our questions. Google's full of lies. George Soros owns hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of websites. And he's got thousands and thousands and thousands of employees filling them with lies. So you Google this and you Google that and you Google this. And everything, and I mean every single thing you get is paid advertising, sadly. Even some of the stuff that really is good material where, you know, Google finds a really good informational website, it's still paid for, so you can, otherwise you can't find it. It honestly, I don't like it. I have an objection to it, but Like, that's really going to make a difference, right? We're not better than any other generation. Our system's not superior. What happens is, over time, these corporations, they become smarter. They know how to make it last longer. They know how to make the bubble grow and grow and grow bigger. You know, it's just like science. They've learned how to make the bubble grow. I mean, and so that when it blows, it's big. Well, the next one's going to be the Womb Bopper, and you'd better be prepared. What are, you know, the true billionaires and the uber rich doing with their money today? Okay? And also think globally. I mean, what are they really doing with their money? There's a bunch of them coming into American real estate, you know, people with big money. But they're buying metals, folks. I'm telling you. I guarantee it. That's the problem with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all that, why we can't get at their – you never hear that we get to their bank accounts. Why is that? Because they use gold, and we can't get it. You can't get it. It's theirs, right? So what are hard assets, and why have those biblically attributed assets of true wealth lasted throughout all of history? God says, you know, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. That's what he said is money. He's claimed it all. He's told his people, get all you can. He's given it to his people. He's told them in multiple cases, take as much as you can. When they've had to, take over other nations, it's always get all the gold, get all the wealth, get all the riches. But it's always the gold and the silver and the rubies and the emeralds and the sapphires. And that's it. And then, you know, the real estate too. So what asset will most likely soar when this bull market finally comes crashing down? I mean, be honest with yourself. What asset do you think is going to soar? Is pretty awesome, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. What soared before? I mean, when we had the crash, you know, before, I mean, we had gold go from what is, you know, in 2000, 275, post 9/11, we just had this constant, steady climb, right? And then when the 09 crash happened, what happened? Metals just shot up. I mean, silver went from $4, you know, a while ago to 50. And it overshot. But you can also turn that over and turn that into a profit and then go back into another asset. That's something I've learned a lot more about. There's a time to buy real estate and there's a time not to. I bought some during the last crash. 10 years ago, the markets crashed, and everyone, quote, in the know, changed their long-term trading behavior. And also, those that were really in the know got out early. I did some radio shows specifically naming massive companies and corporations, even Warren Buffett, you know, that were getting out early. They're like, it's going, it's going to blow. Well, guess what they're doing now? They're getting back into the hard assets. They're getting back into the gold and silver, right? They began to set themselves up. Before the markets crashed, everyone in the know, they changed their trading behavior. They began to set themselves up with piles of hard assets. Now, this is what they're doing now and what they did. Precious metals, rare coins, and they did also get into real estate, and then the bubble gobbled that up. They didn't see it coming. The real estate bubble is currently stretched as thin as it's ever been, okay? This with wealth have purchased quality real estate to a fault, okay? Pushing this false wealth is pushing its levels beyond anything reasonable. So just be aware. In 2008, millions of Americans watched their retirement savings vanish. A decade after the concocted financial crisis, that's the other thing, too. All they did on that last crisis is pull the shades back and show you what's going on. This is real. This is real hyperinflation. The last one, what was our deficit? You know, during the last one, before Obama pushed Trump or before he pushed Bush, I mean, it was like, what, $3.8 trillion? Now we're pushing $23 trillion in what, 10 years? What? I mean, folks, you've got to understand this. It will blow. I'm just telling you, keep it simple. Get your tail in here and get a reasonable portion of your assets secured. And our margins are small. We're nationally competitive. We're cheap. No one's going to give you better rates, period. We're honest. You can get burned so many ways in so many places. People will ship hundreds of thousands of dollars all over. Don't do that. Please don't do that. It's not like it doesn't work out. I mean, we have customers coming in all the time that, you know, send money to CMI Bullion or California Numismatics, and they're waiting, you know, literally 9 months later for a box of 500 American Silver Eagles. You'll never have that happen here, ever, ever, ever. We are well capitalized. The minute you give us a penny, it becomes yours, right? So a decade after this last concocted financial crisis, one in three Americans say they still have not recovered or never will. Others, perhaps you, have prospered during this longest equities bull market in American history and are looking at gains, big gains on paper with no real plan for what comes next. You have no strategy. When will you move? How long will it take? What will it take? Remember this one thing that always proves true. Frauds end suddenly. Okay? They don't take time. They end suddenly. No one can believe it. Brokers comfort your massive losses by letting you know that everyone else is losing money, their money too. So you're part of a big crowd. You should feel good. As if being part of a massive group of losers makes you feel better. Okay? So we're out of time again. What's new? As Americans, we've just grown incredibly complacent, right? We've already forgotten the turmoil of 08. Et cetera. And I'll leave it at that, and I'll pick up on Friday. But folks, I'm telling you, we are so close. So I'm rushing all the time. Go to Google, 5-star review, get proof, call us, prove it, free silver dollar, nice silver dollar. Do 3. Get 2 coins. Take care. God bless. Amen. Bye-bye. Love you.